Welcome back to the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. Today, I'm joined by a performer who's also a vocal and a performance coach. It's the lovely Grace Galloway. Grace is hot off the buzz of Ride the Cyclone, the musical, and literally, at the time of recording, in a couple of days' time, she's leaving London for her next project. More on that. In this episode, we're going to be talking about being audition ready, vocal and mental health in the industry, and all things the business of show business. Grace, I'm so glad I managed to pin you down before you leave London.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So at the time of recording, you are literally about to go up to Dundee, educating Rita. Are you excited for that? Getting your acting chops on?
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I am. It's terrifying. Really scary. For someone who's like trained in musical theatre and is so used to relying heavily on their voice, it's daunting, but it's really exciting. And it's one of those like dream roles, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from Liverpool. I grew up like watching the film and being in another Willie Russell show is just like a dream come true. So yeah, it's scary, it's daunting, but it's very exciting.
It's ticking them off. Blood Brothers.
I know. And then Shirley Valentine can be the next one. Like I'll go through all of them and then I'll go back and play Mrs. Johnston in like a few years time. And then I'll be like, you can't touch me, I'm Scouse royalty. Like that's the vibe.
That's it. And then like Corrie or Emmerdale or something. Done.
Yeah.
But also touching on that, there's almost that stigma on like, if you have trained in music theatre, you've almost got to start again from ground zero if you want to be quote unquote a straight actor, which is not the case anymore. Maybe some of the old guard are still like that, but it isn't. So was that kind of a mindset shift as well, to be like, oh wait, hang on, I deserve to be here as an actor?
Yeah, a little bit. I did Go Ed on ITV. That was like my first telly job, and then I also did a commercial as well. I did the Greggs commercial.
Yes, love that.
I couldn't have been like Waitrose or something, you know. I had to be Greggs. it was great, but I did those and I thought, oh actually I quite enjoy not singing, which is bizarre for me. But I do think, however, it is easier for actors who have trained in acting to go into musical theatre than it is for musical theatre performers to then like make the move into straight acting. Yeah. And I think the reason why I'm doing a play is because I fit that role really well. Not necessarily because like, oh, you are, you know, the top actor in that world. It's just you fit that brief. That brief is like, is me all over. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm doing the job, and because I can act, you know, myself. But like, I do think it's easier for actors to make that move into musicals, a lot easier.
I think understanding the brief is a big thing that sometimes when we have, maybe especially as a fresh grad, when you have your rose-tinted industry glasses on, I can do this, I can do that. And you might not be the right age, you might not have the right vocal range. I think actually understanding a brief and maybe then giving more energy to the roles out there that you do fit the brief is actually quite an important skill that maybe some performers overlook, sadly.
Yeah, you have to be honest with yourself, you know. I always talk about like I think the way you look and the way you present yourself and who you are as a person is such a big thing within this industry. You know, if I think about myself, I'm 5'9", I'm, you know, Scouse, and I'm quite brash and sort of like bold when I walk into a room. So then, you know, you look at certain roles and you go, well, I would love to play that role. But then you look at yourself and you look at all the people who played it before and you kind of go, okay, maybe not yet. It might happen in, you know, in the future, but right now I'm not quite right for that. And like, that's cool. That's okay. Because there's going to be other stuff that I'm perfect for, which is Rita, you know?
And I recently worked with a graduate school in their third year, and they had a fantastic voice, but all of their rep was aimed at these female authoritarians.
Okay.
And I was like, fabulous, but you're 19. You're not going to be hired for a role that is late 20s, 30s, 40s. No. So your rep is almost doing you a disservice.
Yeah.
It's finding songs that fit that powerful young woman, but at your actual age. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about rep during this.
Yeah.
But Dundee, going back to Scotland, where you trained, Royal Conservatoire of Scotland.
Yeah.
Is it nice to be back in Scotland? Well, not there now, but would it be nice to be back in Scotland?
Yeah, absolutely. I hold like, there's so much of Scotland that means so much to me. Not only did I train there, and I had the best 3 years ever in Glasgow. I love Glasgow. My dad is also from Glasgow. So like I have family there, and then my partner actually is from Dundee. Oh. So like I'm going to stay with all of his family.
Oh my God, great.
Which is really lovely.
You've got to save those subs, distances.
That is also a thing, yeah. And then the lovely Andrew Panton, who is the artistic director of Dundee Rep. He was the artistic director of my course at drama school. Oh. So I have a really good relationship with Andrew. So, you know, it's really like full circle to be going back up to Scotland, especially after, I think like 8 years having been graduated now, which is crazy.
Let's rewind them back to you, little Grace, at college and studying. What was life like? What did you expect the industry to be like, I should say? And then fast forward to now, is it, did it kind of match up with what you thought it would be like? Or was it quite a different beast altogether?
I think I've done theatre. I've done like theatre and musical theatre since I was 6 years old professionally. So it's been like a long time coming for me. And it's always been something that like I've just done. It's never been like a, here was the point where I went, I'm going to do this. Yeah. It was just like something that was part of my life forever. And then when I got into drama school the first year that I auditioned, which I was like super lucky, but I was also a bit cocky about it. And then when I got to drama school, I was a little bit like still in that mindset of like, I'm amazing. Like I am the best of the best of the best. And I never ever had anybody telling me that I wasn't, ever. There was never any knockbacks. There was never anyone going, you can't do this. You're not as good as you think you are, or you're not right for this. That genuinely didn't happen. So I left drama school being like, here I am, world. I'm a star. It's all going to happen for me. And obviously, I was very, very quickly humbled because that absolutely didn't happen. And in a way, I wish someone, you know, as much as my time at drama school was fantastic, I wish someone had turned around to me and been like, it's not going to happen for a long time. Yeah. And it really isn't. Because like I say, I'm tall. I looked too old to play the kids, but didn't look old enough to play those like female, like authority roles. I just was in this weird bracket. And I was also a child. I was terrified. I was so naive to the world. So yes, I had an amazing time and it was fantastic. And like, I met friends for life and I learned my craft, but ultimately, yeah, I got a shock. I got a big shock when I left.
Well, we spoke a lot off air about how that now, because the industry, it has changed so much. You graduated in 2018. I graduated in 2007.
Yeah.
And it has, it just changes like so much. So it's now trying to, the grit, the stamina, the mental health, the mental resilience, it almost needs to be trained as much as the like the hard skills of singing, dancing, acting now, I think, for students. And obviously you work a lot with students vocally. Maybe what are some of the, I don't want to say issues, but maybe what are some of the hurdles or friction points that you find maybe with students now in the industry?
I think the hard part of this industry isn't doing the job. That's the easy part. Yeah. The hard part is withstanding the mental torture that you are put through in your everyday life. Yeah. And, I, that is quite like a strong statement, but it really is. And it's how you can navigate your life around acting and performing to bring joy and fulfillment and purpose into your life so that when an acting job comes up, it's just a cherry on top of an already great cake. So I see that where like people don't have any other hobbies. They don't have anything else going on in their life. They don't have anything else that sparks them joy, makes them feel creative, gives them purpose. They're like, I am dead set on this one thing. Yeah. And for some people that really does work. It really does. But that is a tiny little like percentage of a humongous industry. And I am one of those people who that really didn't work for. So finding other things in your life that you enjoy, I think is like the number one thing to keep you sane and to keep you going through this industry and having a really like fulfilling career.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I started exploring the world of the media side with the marketing and journalism. And I didn't tell people for so long because I was like, I need to be industry. Yeah. But then once I started telling other people, more opportunities presented themselves as well. And I think I wish I almost knew that sooner to be like, oh, it's okay to have like other skills. I am a human.
Yeah. Absolutely. You've got to have other skills because I think then they impact how you are in an audition room. Like it just takes the pressure off. It takes the weight off. And you're like, this is just another opportunity because I have all these other opportunities going on in my life that I love. Like I genuinely love. So I think it's so important.
So you spoke a lot there about the audition room and being quite a well-rounded individual. Yeah. Let's talk about your recent audition experiences. So let's talk about Educating Rita. What was the audition process like for that? And then we will go to Ride the Cyclone.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably want to go to Ride the Cyclone because I actually didn't really audition for Educating Rita. So basically what happened was, is that I saw that Dundee Rep put out their season announcement on social media. I saw Educating Rita was part of that announcement. And I thought, I'd be brilliant at that. I'd be really good at that. So I sent an email. I got Andrew Panton's email. I sent an email to him. I've not spoken to him in like 8 years. And I just said, listen, I'd love to throw my hat in the ring for this role. I think I'd be great. I have lots of connections to Scotland. Yeah. If you're auditioning, please keep me in mind. And he sent me an email back about a week later. And I was actually in Cyclone at this point. And he was like, we're doing a like development day, read through day of the script with the director and a few of the creative team. If you would like to play Rita for that development day, please come up. We will pay you to come up. We'd love to have a Scouse voice in the room. But at that point, I kind of knew like, okay, this is my opportunity.
Yes.
So it wasn't really an audition. It was sort of a very chilled, kind of how we are now. Yeah. We're just sat talking. We were going through the script. They were asking for my opinion, what I thought of the script. And then a week later, they just offered me the job.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But like what I love about that, and I say this so many times to like graduates, like you're planting seeds now that are going to ripple years down the line. So the fact of, yes, you ticked the brief, but you knew... the director, but you sent him a polite, positive email, that professionalism, you researched the show. There's all those things that add up to you securing that role. It's not just the, I'm the best singer or dancer or actor out there, which I think is really good.
Would I do that for like any other show that Dundee Rep were doing for that season? No, I wouldn't. Of course I wouldn't, because I'm not right for any of those roles. But there was that one role that I thought, you're not going to get anyone better than me.
Yeah.
And hey, they got me. So it's, that's how that came about.
Let's talk now about Ride the Cyclone and how that show, oh my gosh, the fandom and the visibility you probably gained as an actor.
Yeah.
Was this heightened? It probably potentially visibility-wise springboarded you forward years in your career just because it was covered so much, the fandom that really got behind it. Let's talk about the beast that was Ride the Cyclone. You originated... your role. And it's just been announced that it's coming back. Can you tell us if you are going to be in it?
So I will be reprising my role as Jane Doe in the summer production of Ride the Cyclone, which is going back into the Southwark Playhouse in Elephant and Castle. Thank you. I'm really excited. I'm really excited. I am. It's going to be very different, but still have that kind of, you know, that quality and that love and that magic that we found in the first version of this show. It is a beast. It is a real beast. And I love it. You know, I knew nothing about the show before I did it.
Yeah.
And having now done it, like it holds such a huge space in my heart and in my career. I said this to you off camera, I don't think I would be where I am if I hadn't have done Ride the Cyclone or wasn't offered that opportunity. And I think the naivety going into it as well was kind of the thing that has made me appreciate it even more. I just didn't expect it. I didn't expect the level of craziness surrounding the show. People warned me, but I feel like until you actually experience it, you don't really, you don't know.
And like you, even if people say, oh, be careful, like it's each individual's lived experience and what it's like. And when you're potentially still teaching as well alongside that, are juggling other work, it's just another thing that adds on to it. So what was the audition process like, first of all, for Ride the Cyclone?
So I had a self-tape through, but that was actually, I've spoken about this before. That was actually the same day that I got rejected from another production. From the same casting director.
Okay.
It was Legally Blonde. I got rejected from that. That was after like a couple of rounds into it. So I was a bit like, And then I get this self-tape through and they wanted the tape in on like, say this was the Friday evening. They wanted it in Monday morning. I was going back to Liverpool. I was going, I had loads of plans. I was seeing family.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I actually can't do it. But on the bottom of it, it said, if you can't get like an actual recorded tape to us, please send us something that's already existing.
Okay.
So I had, and I knew it needed to be soprano stuff. So I had my show reel, my vocal reel that I'd done like about a year previous. And I had some top soprano stuff in that.
Right.
Which I've never used before, like really ever.
Okay.
Apart from maybe I did a show last year called Stiletto, which was a legit show. But I didn't sing top soprano in that. I then... just sent that clip. It was honestly a minute long clip and it was in the wrong accent and it was in a recording studio similar to this.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit like, I don't have anything else, so here you go. And then got recalled. It was a dance call. And it was on like the hottest day of the year. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like the hottest week of the year in London.
So, like, ankle warmers off for that one too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No ankle warmers, no like woolly headbands, yeah. None of those. went and did that. I found that really hot. And I was around, obviously, because Ride the Cyclone is about high school students. I was around people who were like really young, you know? And I was sort of in there looking at myself like, oh, I feel quite old. And I wasn't getting it perfect, but I just sort of performed it. You know, it wasn't perfect. I came out of that thinking there's no way I'm getting recalled. Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, well, you come and do material for us in 2 days' time. And then that week it was like really busy that week. I had so many auditions come through that week. I was exhausted. So this was the Friday. I was so tired and I had no adrenaline left in my body whatsoever. I get to the audition, the material round. And honestly, I was the most chilled I have ever been in an audition.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Because I just had no like level of nerves left in my body.
I can't give any more.
I was so warm. I was so tired. And I just was like, I'm going to go in and just do my best. And it was the best audition I've ever done in my life, ever.
Yeah.
My voice pinged off that room. And I remember in the moment thinking, wow, this is really cool. This is so good. I was like shocking myself. Like, wow, aren't I great?
Can I get a copy of that tape, please?
Literally, can I have that back? I've not felt like that since what I was saying just before. I was at drama school. I've not felt that. And I came out and I thought, oh, I've got to have got that one. I've got to have got it. And I've felt that before and that's not happened, of course. But then they did ask me to come in for a producer final.
Okay.
But I had booked a holiday to Greece, an all-inclusive on the beach, 5-star, you know, it cost me a fortune.
Yes.
I hadn't been on holiday in 4 years. And they were like, can you come in next week? And I was like, I looked at flights to change my flights. It would have cost me thousands of pounds. Oh, and I just turned around and was like, no, actually, I need it for my soul, for my, you know, sanity. I need this holiday.
Yeah.
And what will be, will be. I then recorded a self-tape before they'd even asked for the self-tape because I was like, well, they're only going to ask for all that material again. Jane doesn't do an awful lot. She doesn't say a lot in the show and she sings that one song, right? So I was like, I'll record all of the material and send that to them if they want it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I was sat on a sunbed in, you know, in Zante in Greece with a pina colada in my hand. And they were like, can you please send a self-tape? Yeah. I was like... bang, done. Thank you very much. But in my mind, I was like, well, then that's a done deal. Like, I'm not going to get that then because there's going to be brilliant people because there are so many brilliant people in this industry who are so brilliant for so many roles.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they went with me. And I got an offer 2 weeks later. Yeah, just randomly.
Sitting there with your tan at home. You're like,
literally, yes. I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But yeah, it just proves that, you know, you have to go with your gut sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes like pandering to people doesn't always work. You can just sit back and kind of go like, no, actually, do I need this thing right now? Yes, I do. And has it been in the diary forever? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, it has. Yes, I do need it. And things will sometimes happen even when you're not there. And that's okay.
And part of the business is that your body, your instrument needs to be how to run at its optimum. Mm. So if you are at that point of exhaustion and burnout, like it would be probably been worse for you to push through and go to that audition, cancel your holiday, potentially annoy your partner, lose thousands of pounds.
And not even get the job.
Yeah.
Like that was my thing. I was like, oh, I could do all of this and then still not get the job.
Yeah.
And then I'm thousands of pounds in debt. And I don't have a job. What's the point? No, I'm sorry. Like, we have to look after ourselves. We are, you know, we're conditioned to just keep going and be at every opportunity and never stop. But ultimately, you have to think, I am also a human being with emotions and a central nervous system that needs to breathe.
Needs to regulate.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And then when you're in the show then, loving your life, but again, the fandom is so intense, which is great. Because again, that is what's going to give a show a second life and it's worked.
Yeah.
But then how did you navigate that? Because again, you probably didn't have media training for that going into the show. Because again, they don't always know what show will have that success.
No. And I do think, this is just to say, Cyclone, that the team at Cyclone were brilliant with this, especially Ryan Carter, who's actually in Titanic at the moment. Ryan is our social media manager and he is like fantastic. He was there, supportive, you know, answering any questions that we needed. And I am forever grateful to him for kind of like teaching us a little bit on like what to do. But ultimately, no one prepares you for the level of love that you're going to get, but also the level of kind of not so much love that you're going to get to. I was very lucky that people did, you know, really fall in love with Jane as a character. But I think people have to remember that Jane isn't me. Yeah. And I am not also Jane. Like we are two separate entities. We are two separate things. And also I have a life and, you know, performers do have a life. They have a life. And some people, not all people, but some people like to make that life private. Yeah. And that's where the juxtaposition of like head versus heart comes into it, because we are being told that to, you know, have a career in musical theatre, you need to be on social media, but equally you then open yourself to a whole barrage of opinions, whether good or bad, just opinions. And for me during Cyclone, some of those opinions really got to me. So now I, you know, I don't have any notifications on my social media. So nothing pops up on my phone. It's only if I choose to click on those apps that I get stuff through. If I'm doing the show, you know, like things like the first preview or press night, I literally put my phone away. I don't go anywhere near it. And I definitely don't sit and scroll through comments, even though most of them are so lovely. We as performers, we fixate on the bad ones.
Yes.
And you've got to learn how you are with that. I've learned I can't cope with that. I actually can't cope with it. Yeah. So I just don't look at it.
Yeah.
I don't engage.
Well, it's like reading the tone, isn't it? You know, sometimes I'll get a message from someone
and
I'll say to my husband, like, can you believe what they say? And he'll read it back in a different tone. I'll be like, okay.
But they're just saying this.
But you know, when you're in a heightened state because you're exhausted or you're so passionate about something, it can be really hard to actually take that emotion out.
Yeah. Oh God, totally. And that's my biggest thing. It's like taking the emotion out of the business side of things. You have to take your emotions out of it. And so many other actors will tell you the opposite. They'll tell you like, you know, you've got to be in a relationship with the industry. You've got to see it as a relationship. Like, would you walk away from, I was listening to another podcast the other day. It's Bryan Cranston.
Another one, not this one.
I know, sorry. I do listen to this one, everyone. This is a great podcast. I was listening to this podcast with Bryan Cranston, and he was kind of saying like, you have to act as though your relationship with the acting industry is like being in a relationship with a person. Right. It's, you know, would you turn around to a person and go, I'm just going to take a break from you for a couple of months and then come back to it? No, you wouldn't. But equally, like, I think sometimes you do have to see this as a business. I love it. I dream about it. Like, I put my whole life and soul into this, but I also have to protect my peace. And that's what I've started to learn over the last like 2 years. And I'm still continuing to learn. Yeah. Just protecting my inner peace is so important.
On that business angle, obviously you've got your other side of the business where you are a vocal and performance coach. How was it, first of all, learning to operate as a business now? Because you've got stakeholder management, you work at colleges, you've got your one-on-one. So you are having to do your own finances, social media, planning, all that. How is it operating as a business, first of all, as a vocal and performance coach? And then maybe now, are there any skills you learned from that that you bring into you as a business when you're in the industry?
I love being a vocal coach. Like, I love it. And it is like my bread and butter.
Yeah.
And I think being a vocal coach and being an actor go hand in hand with each other. One helps the other. One benefits the other. But what I've sort of learned from being a coach, then taking it into acting, is to kind of like take the pressure off myself. You know, sometimes when I'm coaching someone, someone will say to me, or they'll present me with a problem. I'm going to do that with problem because nothing's ever a problem, right? But they'll present me with something. And sometimes I don't know the answer on how to fix it because I don't know the answer to every single thing ever.
Yeah.
I will say to them, I don't know that, but I'm going to go and find out and I will come back to you. And sometimes like as an actor, I don't know all the answers. So I don't know what the panel are thinking. I don't know exactly what song is going to be perfect for what they want. Because it's all opinion-based acting as well. So therefore, I go in and go, if I don't know the answer, that's cool. I'll go away and learn it, or I'll go away and do something different. But I'm not going to punish myself for not knowing the answer. I'm just going to take it as like step by step by step and take the control element away. I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned from doing both. But yeah, people think that you're an amazing teacher just because you have had a like career in acting. And I'm just here to tell everyone like that is not the case. Yeah. You can be, you know, the best actor in the world, but that does not make you the best teacher in the world. Yeah. And like I have trained, I've worked, I've studied, and I continue to do so to make sure that that side of my business is just as good, if not better, than my acting side. Yeah. You know, we talk about like 10,000 hours, how many hours you need to put in to be a master at something. And I think I'm still on my way to doing that.
Yeah.
But the two definitely help each other out.
And I think it's so important to take ownership. And again, I think as a performer, we don't like critique. We don't want the notes. We want to be perfect all the time. But again, even in the world of marketing, there are so many coaches out now on social media, I'm sure you see. Mm. And it's this information, blah, blah, blah. But I'm also like, it's not curated to maybe what someone needs, or they're just obviously hashing out what someone else has said. And it's like, actually, it's okay not to know. You can go away and research and come back. Because as you said, you can't know, you can't solve every problem. No. It's not possible.
You don't know everything. And also different things are specific to different individuals. So someone can put something out on social media and say, this is the way to fix this vocal, you know, hindrance. Yeah. But that's not necessarily going to be the way to fix it for you. So you could try that. And then you could go into an audition and try that one thing. And it might completely wreck your whole audition because all you've been thinking about is doing that thing that coach said on TikTok.
Yes.
And you have to be specific. You have to find a way that works for you, not just what some random person is telling you on social media.
What do you, because obviously a lot of singers or actors, a lot of dancers or actors, singing strikes fear in their soul. Yeah. And then if they get through that first round or second round, they may then have to sing and they sabotage themselves. What are your views on this whole idea of like, some people just can't learn to sing? Like, is there an argument for like natural talent versus consistency and practice? Can everyone sing to a certain level? Is confidence maybe more key to singing than natural ability if you are not someone who's sung from the age of 3 or 4?
Yeah. I think Jo Estill, the lady who created the Estill model, she had a quote that said, everyone has a beautiful voice. Mm. And that is so true, right? Everyone does have a beautiful voice. And I know some people will be like, I certainly don't have a beautiful voice. But you do. Some people are born with a genetic talent. That is just fact. Yeah. For example, my granddad was a professional singer. My mum can sing. Most of my family can hold a tune. Mm. So therefore, I was able to sing literally probably from like the womb, right? Because it's genetic.
Yeah.
But if I'd have just done that and just had that genetics and not then worked on my voice and not, you know, done my qualifications, gone to drama school, practiced, and, you know, practice makes permanent. So therefore, if I hadn't have done all of that, I certainly wouldn't be doing the jobs that I'm doing now. Yeah. So I do think the two go hand in hand. I think, yes, there is always that element of somebody is born with, you know, you know, you're not born to sing because singing is an unnatural act, but you are born with a more melodic understanding of music and intonation, right? But you can train your voice to be better. It will might not get to a certain point that you think, wow, I'm going to sound like, you know, Beyonce.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we're good.
You could do
we're that. Good, but we're not that good. But you can improve. And if you're a dancer and somebody who just genuinely needs to hold a tune and hold it well, you can absolutely learn how to do that. You just have to persevere with it. You're going to sound bad before you sound good. Mm. And you have to sit in the uncomfortable. You have to sit in the ugly. And you have to really persevere with it. I have had so many students who have done that and are now, you know, in contracts and aren't scared of singing. My own partner is like that. He trained as an actor and then has been in for musical auditions and now is able to hold his own in a room because we've just gone through finding the joy and finding the comfortableness and finding things to focus on rather than just that confidence, that lack of confidence and that little demon that lives in the front of our brain going, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You've got to put that demon in the back and just go, I can. I'm going to take the pressure off and I can. Yeah.
Gosh, I needed you when I was auditioning. My one song was Putting on the Ritz and they were like, they're like, do you have a rock pop? And I'm like, yeah, Putting on the Ritz. Get a tempo. And they're like, do you have anything legit? And I was like, yeah, Putting on the Ritz. Slow down. And then they'd be like, it wasn't always the right choice, but hey ho.
No, but you made it work. You made it work.
If I come out of retirement, I'm booking you.
Yes, done. Please do.
Let's talk then about vocal health and stamina. Because again, I think now as a presenter, I sometimes do gigs when I'm like having to like speak for like 10 hours a day. And after I'm like, I need the steam, I need a vocal lozenge, I need my straw. Vocal health and stamina, something we need to work on as performers, but maybe sometimes some people will put that into their weekly schedule and some won't. What are your tips then, or what devices would you recommend to people to maybe at least get in their kit, or what they should start doing this to? Because again, when this goes, or when your body stops working, you lose your income.
Yeah.
So we don't want to do that.
No, we really don't. I think it's really individual to each person. And I think you have to learn your own way and your own process. Some people, you know, will never drink dairy or eat dairy, and they will, you know, live this clean lifestyle. And in my opinion, I love my life and I enjoy going out and eating and drinking and having a lovely time.
I'm not just intolerant, but I'm going to have that cheesecake.
I really, 100%, I want the cheesecake. However, there are certain things for me that I know I can't do. So like, I know that drinking loads of alcohol, it drives me out completely, and the next day I wake up and I can't do it. However, when I was on tour with Blood Brothers, there was people who have been on that tour for about 20 years, could go to the pub, drink five pints, get up the next day and sound clear as day. Don't know how they did it, but that's just them. Water and hydration for me is the biggest thing. I try and drink I do just drink so much water that my body's now used to that. And sleep, not overworking yourself. My vocal coach Dane Chelfin, he has the best quote ever: nothing you suck, swallow or chew will ever reach your vocal folds. It's so true, because if it did, you would choke and die, right? So all of these, you know, and I am a culprit of this. I do take, you know, I have a Jakeman's before the show or a vocal zone before the show, and I love the feeling it gives me in the back of the throat. Like, I love it, I really do love it. And it just makes me feel really open and like I'm raring and ready to go. But that is after doing a full comprehensive vocal warm-up that is specific to me and that specific show. And also drinking all my water in the daytime. You know, I've also changed my exercise so that I don't do any high intensity interval training anymore, because it doesn't work for me, because I grit and I don't, I tense, and there's so much tension going on with that. And I hold loads of tension anyway. So I'm like a proper hot Pilates girly now, where it's all about the breath,
chakras,
hot yoga, and I love it. It's really, really good, but it works for me. I know loads of other performers who go and do, you know, five F45 classes a week, and they love it. So it's just it's so individual to each person, but ultimately for me, hydration and sleep are the two biggest things that if I don't do that, it's game over, like total game over.
You work a lot with students now, whether that's on site at colleges and universities or one-on-one. What advice would you give to someone who's maybe listening, who wants to audition for drama school? And then maybe let's also then give advice to someone on the flip side, they've done 3 years, they're going out into the industry. So what kind of advice would you give to someone first of all auditioning for drama school? Because again, that's such a scary time.
Yeah, it's so scary. I think individuality and knowing a piece of who you are. You don't know the full extent of who you are at the age of what, 17, 18, 19, 20, right? You just don't. But you know an essence of that person. And if you've got that like unique selling point, that one thing that that panel are going to remember you by, they're going to fall in love with that piece of you. Don't give them what you think they want. Remember, you are auditioning to spend 3 years with this group of people. And if they don't vibe with you or they don't see the real you, they're not going to want to spend that 3 years getting to know you and working with you. So ultimately, I think showing a bit of individuality and a little bit of yourself goes such a long way. And even down to your material, choose and rep. Find something that you connect to. Find something that shows a little bit of you rather than just this like vague, I'm a musical theatre robot. And then post drama school, I think an essence of what I've just said there, sticking to your individuality, absolutely. But also just being a yes person at the beginning. Just being like, yeah, okay, I'll do this. Yeah, all right, I'll do this. You know, I speak to a lot of graduates who, you know, there are points in my career now where I can say yes and I can say no to a couple of things, and I can sort of like push that boundary a little bit because I have been in the industry and I know myself more, and I also know what I want a little bit more. When you're first graduated, you don't really know what you want, and nobody else really knows who you are or what you want. So you've just got to go for it and say, yeah, okay, I will do that. If you're presented with an opportunity, go for it. Grab the bull by its horns and just go for it. Because you never know what that is then going to lead to.
What is your sweet spot for the amount of songs in a rep? Because you get some people and they've got that binder and it's like, boom. Or you get some people and it's like two pieces of, or just put it in the Ritz, just the one.
Put it on the Ritz.
That one song. But what is the sweet spot for rep? Should it be three songs in this vocal range, one legit? What is kind of that sweet spot for you when you're working with a performer?
Okay, I think there's like a five, like five good songs, right? So you've got your contemporary, contemporary song, your legit song.
Yeah.
You've then got like a character song. So that can be, that can also include like patter, that can include, if you want Sondheim, it can include all of those things that you can use for lots of different things. You've then got a pop rock ballad and a pop rock up-tempo.
Yep.
You can then have like, if you're inclined to do a more legit stuff, you can have a legit ballad and a legit up-tempo. If you're more inclined to doing contemporary stuff, you can have a contemporary ballad, a contemporary up-tempo. But essentially what you should be able to do as an actor, and I think this is where people fall short, they think that if they get a song, the only way to do it is that one way, because that's the one song that's going to be for that one audition, right? That is not true at all. I should be able to turn around to a student and go, I need you to now do this in your own accent for me. And they should honestly be able to do it like that. I should be able to turn around to somebody and go, can we just take that up by a semitone, two semitones? Because I want you to get past a certain point and I want to see it in a different place in your voice. And if on your CV, you've got mezzo soprano written on your CV or soprano, and this is a slightly more alto song, ultimately you should be able to just go, yeah, okay, cool, I'll do it, and figure that out in your voice and know what things you need to add to the mix to get you to that place. If you only stick with the one song, doing it the one way, it means then you are going to have that binder of just song after song after song. And it means then that those songs aren't then in circulation, so you don't do them for ages. You'll have a song that you'll think that's perfect for that show, and you will do that like twice in your whole career. So then it means when you're going into the audition room, you're like, whoa, I've not done this in so long. This is so scary. And don't put yourself under that stress at all. Just make it easy. Make it so easy for yourself so that you can go in and you can just do your best work.
Before we get to our closing lights, questions, action, quick fire round.
Yeah.
What business advice would you give? Because you've said some great things today about that email pitch, understanding your brief, spotting the opportunities, using social media to find those shows. Mm. What bit of business advice maybe do you wish a young Grace had known at college, or what advice would you give to someone starting out in the industry?
To not second guess yourself, to just send the email. When somebody says to you, I think you should get new headshots, go and get new headshots. Make sure everything on your spotlight is up to date, crystal clear, not too, you know, overbearing. There's not so many things on there. So when somebody goes on it, they just go, bang, that's what I'm looking for. To also just have fun. Because ultimately the reason why we do this industry is because we once loved it. And we still are meant to love it.
Yeah.
But because of the stress and because of the intensity of it, we get so clouded and crowded with so many different emotions. So that to the core of it, you need to think, I'm doing this because I love it.
Yeah.
And why do I love it? And if you fall out of love with it, I think that's when you know that it's the time to maybe take a step back. Yeah. And, you know, I think about little me. There's a lot of that on social media, like looking at little you. If she knew right now what I'm doing, she would genuinely be like, oh my God, this is amazing. So you've got to find the love for it. You've got to find the joy, the love. And if you don't, there are so many other things in the world that will spark your joy and will spark your love and creativity. Just trust it.
I feel like I need to be RuPaul and get a baby picture out there. And
I know.
Like,
this is like, it.
Okay, so we're now going to go to our lights, questions, action, which is our quick fire.
Great.
Light and fluffy questions, nothing too deep. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What is your go-to audition song?
That one from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Here I Am from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
What song do you think is maybe overused in people's rep, or should maybe put towards the end of someone's rep, or taken out because it's everywhere?
Either that one from Beetlejuice, Dead Mom, or Right Hand Man from something. Is it Something Rotten? I can't remember. That one I hear all the time. Oh.
What is your dream show, past or present?
I was actually having a conversation about this with my partner the other day. I don't really have one. I would love to be in Les Mis. I'd love to be in Phantom. But ultimately, I want to originate something in the West End, or I want to do new, exciting, creative things that spark me joy.
And available from August, I believe, is it?
Yeah.
So book.
So...
sing for them now. Sing for them. Ride the Cyclone. It's about a theme park. Do you like roller coasters? And if so, what's your favourite theme park?
Yes, I do like roller coasters. I am a bit of a scaredy cat, though. I hate haunted houses. I hate anything horror. I hate anything gory, which is so not on brand for Jane. Sorry, everyone. But I love Alton Towers, and I also love Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
One piece of advice you always give, but you find hard to take yourself.
Stop worrying. Stop stressing, stop worrying. Doesn't matter, it's okay, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I never do that.
Yeah. Worst career advice you were ever given?
You won't work properly till you're 30.
Nice.
I was like, watch me.
Okay, yeah. I can do wings, I can do anything. random casting, a most unusual industry thing you've had to do, like a fail, have you had to do a casting where maybe for Greg's was this like unusual, we had to eat like 52 sausage rolls?
Yeah, no, I had to eat a pepperoni pizza on camera and then jump up and down saying yay. I've also had to like dry hump the floor once in an audition while singing I'll Make Love to
oh
You.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, probably those.
Okay. Yeah, it's like they're quite out there.
Yeah.
Finish this sentence. You don't need to blank to be successful in this industry. So fill in the blank. You don't need to be beep to be in this industry.
Perfect. Doesn't exist. Perfection does not exist.
Guilty pleasure song that you just love. And if it's the only song you could ever sing again for the rest of your life, what song would it be?
Another Life from the Bridges of Madison County.
Oh, lovely.
It's my favorite.
And last question. You've just been on a podcast. So do you like to leave podcast size voice notes or text messages?
Text messages. Ooh. I do. I'm a texter.
You're like, I need to save that voice for on stage.
Yeah, that's a texter. And I also hate that. I'm sorry, I'm just going to voice note this because it's much easier. Sorry, fire me over a text. Thank you.
Thank you. All that's left to say is make sure that you subscribe, comment, or leave a review wherever you listen or watch this podcast. Where can I quickly find you online or sign up for any coaching?
You can get me at Grace Galloway XX on Instagram and TikTok, or Galloway Vocals for any coaching. It's also my website, gallowayvocals.com, or send me an email, send me a DM, whatever you want.
Perfect. And then go and watch Ride the Cyclone.
Yeah.